Okay, good evening. Mem Gimel on the base. Moving on now. Pam Achas Le'Nichnas to the non-Mel of the Chod. The two dots about two thirds down on Mem Gimel on the base. So one time they came into the port on Shabbos. They weren't sure if they could get off the ship. Shabbos has already come in. Were they within the 2,000 amos of the city or not? So Rabban Gamliel says no problem. I can vouch for the fact that we were definitely within 2,000 amos. So that's the Gemara. Tana is
they
short.
Did not enter. No,
correct. They were within 2,000 amos. they haven't gone outside of their tchum. The question is, how did Rabban Gamliel know this? How did he know? The Tana has been taught. Shvefele Soysalo Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel has this special tube. So your mabit was sefer bo alpayim amos by Yabosha. That he gazed through it, and based on that he could gauge. He knew he could see 2,000 amos exactly on the dry land. Uchenegdo alpayim bayo, and then he knew with that, based on that, he'd be able to see 2,000 amos. He's looking through it at sea, and therefore, what he was able to do is he looked through his special tube as Shabbos was coming in. And he could see the port very clearly. So he knew they were within 2,000 amas of the port. That's the way, the possible way of learning a bit about Zashan. We'll see a little bit more about it. Fine. Then the Gemara says, Horitza leida kamo imko shel gai. Somebody wants to know the depth of a valley. How far down is it? Nothing to do with Shabbos. Sometimes you want to know what the depth is. So maybe Shreferes, he should bring a tube. Poshe Peshat is, this is not the tube of Rabban Gamliel, this is a different tube. Okay, we'll see whether Hashem going to the Ga'onim, it's the same tube. But Poshe Peshat is, bring a different tube. Gumabit bo, look through it. The Yigda kamo imko shel gai, and then he'll be able to know the depth of the valley. What that means to say is, once you know what the distance is you can see through this tube is, so now that you direct it at a certain object which you know the distance how far it is from you, and you go back until finally, okay, that's the maximum distance I can go any more distance and I won't be able to see that point. Mm-hmm. So I know theoretically, I know people have asked at the time we did on Shabbos, surely it can depend on the size of the object and these sort of things. Okay, that's,
what about the person size though?
It's the same person who's going to use it for both. Same person will use the both. We're not changing people, not changing tube, not changing people. The only thing is, you could say that the amount of light could affect it. Okay, it's obviously done in such a way that won't be an issue. So he knows, based on that, stands as far back as he can. He says, if I take one more step, I can't see that point anymore. Once he's gone to the maximum distance, he stops there, gets somebody to measure the distance from where he is to that point. So he now knows how much he can see, what the distance is through this tube. Then what he does is, he goes to the edge of this valley. He looks down. Can he see the bottom of the valley? Yes. So what he starts doing is, he starts going, retreating backwards. And when he hits a point where he knows, okay, I take one more step back and I can no longer see the bottom of the valley, he's obviously assuming that there's no bends in the land or anything that's getting in the way, so you've got to be stepping backwards and sort of going at a certain incline. Okay, you use your own imagination to get around these problems. Then you stop there and you say, okay, based on that, how much have I retreated from the edge of the valley? Take that amount and you take it off the total, and then you know the depth of the valley. Yeah. So if, for example, if let's say with this tube I can see, let's say, for argument's sake, 5,000 amas, right? When I went to the edge of the valley, I could see the bottom of it, started retreating, I could only go 500 amas back, then I now know, I went any more than that?
4,500.
Oh, that's right, 4,500 amas is the depth of the valley. In theory, as I said, you have to sort out any zeitika problems, as they call them, which, may be in the way. Okay, this is all according to Rashi, right? The Poshim Shatim, the Gemara, we'll see better Hashem, there is another way of learning it. A little bit more mathematical. Then, the horita leida kamal goipo shel deka. If a person wants to know the height of a palm tree, now he doesn't want to climb it, because maybe it's dangerous to climb the palm tree, but he wants to know what is the height. Now, how can you do it without having to climb it? So, Moedid Komoso, Vitilo, Vitel Komoso. What does he do? So, he measures his own height, whatever his height is. He measures the length of the shade of the palm tree.
Shadow.
Sorry, the shadow, correct, yeah. When I say shade, I mean the shadow, correct. So. And then you measure your own shadow. And then you'll know the height of the dekel.
Yeah.
How does that work? Because any time you say it doesn't make a difference. What you do is you work out the ratio of your height to your shadow. So at certain times of the day when the sun is very low in the sky, your shadow is going to be much longer than your body. Right? When the sun is directly overhead, it's going to be a very, very short shadow relative to your body. So you just take that point in the day, you measure the shadow of the dekel, and then you just do the math using that ratio. Whatever the ratio is, it should be the same for your body as it is for the dekel. Okay, it's close enough.
It's interesting that he doesn't use a different form of measurement. He doesn't use the tube.
There's no need to. They're much simpler.
Yeah, I understand that, but it's also probably more accurate doing it with a shadow, with the shadow, than doing it with the tube.
Could be. Yeah.
I think that's the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah. I'm not sure how would it necessarily work with it. Without using trigonometry or things like that, how would you measure the height?
Well, the same problem we have with the valley. You also need trigonometry, really.
No, but that's the distance from a point.
The way I've explained it until now is with no trigonometry.
I understand that, but that's in theory, but in practice...
No, that is the way the Rishonim learn it. Everyone except the Goyim. That's the Bosh Pshat and the Gemara. There's no need for any trigonometry.
And if you've got a valley, it's going to go sloping down.
Like this.
Deep. Right, so you step back with your tube.
Upwards. You're going upwards. That's what upwards. I said.
Upwards where?
Continuing on up.
You're
standing at a point. I want to know from that point down.
You want to know the depth of your
made,
point.
I made that point very clear. Not that you step back like that, because obviously you can't see over. So that's why I said you.
So you're not knowing the full depth of the valley. You're
and
knowing
I'm from a point. From a given point.
Okay.
100%. That's why I meant when I said if all the Leitiger problems you'll have to sort out in order to make it work a bit.
Right.
So far. You obviously didn't learn in
Learn enough Yiddish, right?
No. Well, what I meant was you didn't learn enough Yeshivish Yiddish. I only know Yeshivish Yiddish. They call it Zeitgeist.
That's
Zeitgeist.
Zeitgeist.
You never heard Zeitgeist?
Zeitgeist.
I don't know. I'm not. I learned the Yiddish I knew is from Yeshiva days and things like that from the Chassidim. Anyway, so fine. That's the case of the height of the palm tree. Right, next one. Horitza shere tishre chayo ro'o b'tzel keva. A person who doesn't want a wild animal to take shade by a keva. Basically, after a person's buried there, we don't want a chayo ro'o when it's very hot out and there's not in that sort of area there isn't much in the way of shade. So what would he do? What would the Chayral do? It would go and find anything which provides any sort of shade, including the Maktevah, from the relatively fresh keber. The problem is, this Chayral will be standing there taking shade, and in the meantime smell the very blunt, you know, the decomposing body, and it will dig it up. So therefore we want to make sure that this Chayral is not going to come and take shade anywhere near the keber. But how do I do that? I want there to be a Maktevah there on the other hand, so what should I do? So this is what you should do. It's a matter of working out the correct angle to slope the effectively what it's not Matseva as we have it. It's more the sloping of the ground there, which is what you're creating the Matseva with. So how do you do it? So this is what you should do. Noit konet b'dalad shoyes bayin. Take a stick. It's your reed, but take a stick and position it at 4 hours in the day. What that means to say is effectively like a sundial. Remember, 4 hours into the day. That is the point in the day where Chazal say that where it's sunny, it's very hot, but in the shady areas, it's very pleasant. Once you go beyond that point in the day, this is key for understanding the Gemara, even in places where there seems to be shade, it's still very hot. The air is just very, very, is very heated up, and it's very unpleasant even in the shady areas. So 4 hours into the day is that's the point in the day where it's unpleasant in the sunny points, the sunny areas, but in the shady areas, that's where it's going to be pleasant. And that's when the Chayo is going to be going looking for a shady spot. So what you need to know is, where is that shady spot going to be at 4 hours in the day? So what you do is, you put a stick there, and you watch the sun at 4 hours into the day, and you watch the shade of the stick. Now you'll know the direction at 4 hours into the day, the direction that the shade will take. And obviously, different times of the year, by the way, the sun takes different routes, yeah. Right? Whether it goes very high in the sky, whether it goes more that way around.
Yeah, the sun is very high.
Okay, but again, that's presumably why you're only worried about when it's relatively freshly dug. So for in that period, you can probably cover yourself. You don't have to worry about the rest of the year once already it's been a while since the Kibbutz. So again, you stick the rod or the stick into the ground, where the sun is at 4 hours in a day. And you watch, where does the shadow of the stick, which direction does it go? And then what you do is, in that very direction, that's where you create this matzebo, which is like a small little hill, we call it. You do it in that, the sloping in that direction very gradually, and therefore you won't end up with any shadow in that point. See, because normally you'd have a matzebo zazoi, right? Be relatively vertical. And if you do that, then there's going to be a shadow. So what you do is, this way you make it very gradual in that direction, and therefore you won't end up at 4 hours in the day, there won't be much of a shadow. And then it's true, when the sun moves around, it continues on round, then obviously it'll be coming from a different angle, there will be a shadow, because you haven't smoothened it in all directions like that. But it doesn't matter by that point, as Rashi will explain, because number one, by that point in the day, it's unpleasant even in the shady area, so it's not even looking by that point. And number two, once it's given up of 4 hours, it came to this spot and didn't find anywhere 4 hours in the day, it goes looking elsewhere, it's not coming back here. These animals, they're looking at 4 hours in the day, that's when they're looking for their shady spot. If it doesn't find anything by this cover, it goes off elsewhere and it'll find somewhere else. It doesn't come back to check these on in the day again. They're not that clever.
Any specific size that this stick is?
I don't think it's really going to make a difference, because you just want to work out the direction of the shadow.
Right.
And then, once you've made it, you can then double check. You can always check yourself by waiting tomorrow for 4 hours into the day and see that you don't end up with a shadow.
If you were to do the stick too high, then you'd only get a small, you'd get a smaller shadow. So you've got to get the stick at the right height to get sufficient shadow for the animal to have a shade. And depending on the size of the animal, will depend on how much shadow you need.
So you won't work out the length that you need.
Yeah.
But is the stick placed close to the kever?
Again, the emphasis is what you really need is just to work out the direction. I don't think it really makes it.
The stick would be placed on the sunny side of the kever.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be put right next to it, because you just want to know the direction. Once you work out the direction, then you can arrange the slope on the kever accordingly.
Yeah, do you have to work out how steep the slope is going to be or how shallow?
Rashi is not particularly asked that, you just do it as gradual as possible. The more gradual you make it, the lower the gradient, the less shadow you're going to create.
Right.
So that's like you said, it will depend on the size of the chayah. Why
don't we just bury the person deeper and flatten the earth, so there's no shadow anyway, no shade either.
Easier said than done, when they didn't have machinery to dig the kever. I mean, you know, digging kvorim may have not been such an easy job.
And they didn't have marble lightsabers.
No, I understand.
But remember, they buried people one on top of the other as well when time's gone by.
And also, they also eat in a dry atmosphere. In the winter, they wouldn't have to worry about so much because it wouldn't be so hot. But in the summer, the ground is very dry, and therefore it's easily movable by the animals. Whereas
yeah, but then it must be easier to dig deeper and put that.
Yeah, but it's hot, so you don't want to do it. That's, you know.
How did they keep the hour timing?
Based on the sun.
So they had the dial.
Yeah,
so the sun wasn't telling them exactly 4 hours, was it?
No, they knew when 4 hours in a day. So it was based on the sun, though.
So it was they had the sun down and they had the... Yeah.
Okay. But it's very possible as well, a lot of these things you could actually tell by watching nature at that point. You watch when the animals start looking for their shade.
Yeah,
animals are very, very good indication. I've told in the past, you know, when Chazal say about the time of the Golas, I used to do in Yeshiva, if I was up around Alois, I used to get onto the balcony overlooking like the forest in Harnov, and Taka, somebody, you heard the cockerel, looked at the time, bang on. I always say, but it got a little bit ill because subsequent attempts to this, it seemed to be a little bit out. But yeah, then if you hear it in the morning, because there is one somewhere around.
Where's the bird?
No, the chickens.
Yeah, we have them. Yeah,
check it out.
Yeah, excuse me, I live in the village. You don't even tell me that.
I know. Only
when
it's time to go to Spain.
It's not
necessarily any time to go. Okay, fine.
That's why they used to keep the light for them, so they keep, you know.
To mix them up. Yeah.
Yeah, to mix them up, so they give eggs. Yeah.
Okay, so if we take a look at Rashi, Rashi says Shufferes. You're not even halfway down the page. What is a Shufferes? It's kind of hollow. It's a hollow. Reed if you want, stick, tube. Ukashu oruch, when it is long, in tofin boidamirocha. The longer it is, the shorter the distance you're able to see. Ukashu kotze, when it is narrower, tofin boidyose, you can see further. Right? Vahoysa shveferes, Sharam Gamliel, Mr. Kenneth, the midas, tfias alpayim. And Rabbi Gamliel had made this shveferes for himself, like you said, it was based on his eyesight and other things, but it was one that was designed for him. Such that he knew he could see exactly 2,000 amos over Yom, early by Abosha, both on in the sea and dry land. It's ready, tried and tested numerous times. He could rely on it. So fine, that's how he did it there. Then we said, if a person wants to know kama oim koshal gai, if a person wants to know what is the depth of a valley, maybe shveferes, he should bring a tube umabit for look through it by Abosha on dry land. The Yimdo Kama Amos, who Yochel lit the tapis board, see how many Amos he's able to see through it. The Yachakach, right, based on that, once he knows the distance he can see through it, the Yachakach, after that Yirich al Tfas Agai, he should go to the edge of the valley, edge being, again, it'll have to be from where you are, the tapis board, and look through it, Lo'omko, downwards to the depth. The Yisrachik La'achayov, and then go backwards, Ad Sheyavchin, until he reaches a point where he realizes that the point where the depth of the valley ends, now that's the last point he can see with the tube as he is standing now. Meaning to say, if he was to go back even a small amount more, he will no longer be able to see the bottom of the valley. Again, not because of things getting in the way, but rather because he's too far away now. The Yeda, then he will be able to know, Sha'imka Shalgai, that the total of the, when putting together the depth of the valley, plus the Harchokosoi, Shenisrachik Mitzfosoi, plus the distance that he went back away from its edge, the edge meaning the point where he wants to measure from, Havikimidas Tfiata Shveferes, those two measurements together will equal the distance that you can see through this shveferes, through this tube. As I said, we are obviously talking about where there's nothing getting in the way, no bits of land jutting out and blocking the field of vision. Okay, so that just has to be you have to make that.
But it only works if the distance you can see in this tube, which you said might be 5,000, the depth of the valley is 5,000 or less.
Correct, and a half. Yeah. Of course, if it's small, it won't work. Correct, then you have to get a different tube or adjust your tube or get something else to look through it, etc. Yeah? 100%. Again, that potentially, I think people already raise these things. You know, when you're looking at their values, probably less like that to start with. All these things you would expect should be able to get in the way of these things. Okay, it's a.
You also have to measure the excess over the valley, don't you, to know how much. If you've got 5,000 tube and you can see 5,000, you have to know how much is a valley and how much is the excess.
We're saying the two things.
Yeah, but you have to measure the valley.
No, because the whole point is I don't have to go all the way down.
Not the valley either. So
your distance you're going back, obviously, if that's more than the distance going down, then you're going to be quicker to go down. We're talking about, obviously, that is only a small amount. Okay. Goyboso shall Zekel. If you want to measure the height of a palm tree, but you're afraid to go up it, to measure the height. So Yimdo Tila Shal Dekel, he should measure the shadow of the palm tree. The Tzelkim also measure his own shadow, Shal Atzmo of himself. Sometimes Shaltel Rabo Al Hametzel. Sometimes the shadow is greater than the object that's casting the shadow. Upon Shametzel Rabo Al Atzel. Other times, the person creating the shadow, right, in the middle of the day when the sun's overhead, the object will be greater than the shadow that it's creating. When the sun is standing high up in the sky, directly overhead, then the shadow of any object is relatively small. When the sun is low in the sky, it creates longer shadows. Hilkoch therefore moidet af tzelkim osa. That's why it's necessary to also measure his own shadow to work out the ratio. And then once he sees the ratio, how much his own shadow is more or potentially less, but it's more than his height, yeda he will then know the formula sherabo tzel adekel al adekel, the ratio that the shadow of the dekel would be more than the dekel. It could be okiflaim, it could be it's double, oshalish, it could be it's a third, oravia, it could be a quarter. In other words, the kitza, you work out the ratio and then you apply it based on the known length of the shadow of the dekel. Horeitza, and finally, something you wanted to know. He wants to arrange, set up the kever in such a way that a chayoro will not take shade in the shade of the kever. So ke'en matzeva, they used to have a bit like a matzeva, or you matzivin ala kever, right? It's such a big Indian in having the matzeva, right? Based on Pesukim, a matzeva is a big Indian to have a matzeva by a kever. It's not just some.
Matzeva is a big
Indian to have a matzeva. So, you matzeva by the kever. Ke'en shonu magbi, and a bit like we raise the ground, the tzobrin by offer, and we pile the offer over it. U'mishapea lekan ulekan, and then they slope it, slant it in different directions. Ba'ayori, now somebody who's afraid, shelo togo chayoro, that he doesn't want a wild animal to come, they stoop it to take shade, the tela keva in the shadow, the shade of the keva. Mipnei choy mashemesh, why would that chayra want to do that? Because of the heat of the sun. V'yoriyach et hameis, what will happen is then he will smell the mace, v'yichatetenu, and he will dig up the mace. So what should you do? Noritz konev et alishoy, put a stick at 4 hours in the day, meaning to say, kishabon asus habinya, when he comes to make this matzeva, Yin oit koneh ba'abar shoyz ba'yom, he should put the stick into the ground at 4 hours into the day. She'oit ha'shor, because at that time, maskel ha'shemesh is coming. That's when the sun begins to really heat up. In other words, we feel the heat, right, in the sunny areas. Ba'hadzel tzeinin, and the shady parts are relatively cool, but noyach and pleasant to be in. The Dorina B'barokas, as the Gemara says in Barokas, when it works out, the 4 hours of the day is the time shachar is. Based on the pasuk, v'cham ha'shemesh v'lamos, right, the mon would melt when the sun got hot. Not the whole day, it doesn't say v'cham ha'yom, like it says by Avraham Avinu, k'chem ha'yom, it's v'cham ha'shemesh. Ezer shor, what is the time sha'ashemesh cham, when the sun is hot, in other words, the sunny areas are hot, ha'tzel tzeinim, but the shady areas are still cool. Havi omer, one would say, ze'av ha'shor, is that 4 hours into the day. Ulatichach, and therefore Chayes Mitzavos Mitzel Doisoshah. At that point in the day, that's when these animals, these wild animals, are longing for a shady spot. Ulaosetzal Shigir Ezeh. So the sight that this person sees, Shetela Kone Noita, that the shadow of the stick is going in, the direction is going in, that's the direction Yeshapea HaBinyan, that he should make the binyan this matzeh, he should slope it in that direction. The Yaseh Shipua Oruch, and make a long, long, very low gradient, well, as long as possible, slot. Shuvi Yehin Noita Lo itself, in order that you won't get much of a shadow from it at all. The RRP, even though Shekeshetiso Vachamon, the once the sun continues to, you know, to orbit, it goes, continues on round, and then the shadow will be in a different direction, and you haven't created the Matzeh in such a way to avoid that problem. Well, came on the bar, he shouts off, since at 4 hours in the day, Lekot tell there is no shadow, Sulo Asyo Chayo, the Hismeni Bitzilo, the animal won't come back to take shade later on when there is a shadow. Because at 4 hours in the day, it goes in search of a shady spot until it finds one. If it didn't find one here, it goes somewhere else, and by the time you get a shadow by the keva, it would have already found a shady spot somewhere else. That's point number one. But even furthermore, the la'acha arasho is after 4 hours in the day, afa tel cham. By the time you get the shadow by the keva, even the shady spots are hot. But the ikbas le the chayav betel. And by that point, the chayav is no longer interested in looking for a shady spot because it's not really gaining very much by going there. Fine. That is the Gemara as explained by Rashi. Now, there is a Peshat that is brought, the Me'iri brings it at great length from the Ga'enim, from Haigon, and that is based more on, call it, trigonometry. And according to that, the Shveferes we're talking about is the same Shveferes as, you know, Rabban Gamliel's one, and the Shveferes of, and let's see, you know, we're using that same one for the guy. And that is based on the fact that I know if I hold it at a certain height, if I hold the Shveferes at a certain height, in order to see an object, I will obviously angle it, because I'm looking from above, I'm looking at an object on the ground, and therefore I can work out, again, this is simplifying the trigonometry, the way they were able to do it is, they were able to measure based on a given angle, once they keep, as long as you keep the angle consistent. So I know, if let's say going up one amor, right, at a certain given angle, which I'm going to keep consistent, that allows me to see 500 amors horizontally. So in other words, you've got a triangle which is therefore 500 amors is the horizontal. Yeah. The height is going to be just one amor. So I know for every one amor, if I keep the angle consistent, right, I'm sitting now at the top of the horizontal, the diagonal. Yeah, I'm sitting at the top of the diagonal where it meets the top of the height, and I'm keeping that angle consistent. As long as I keep that angle consistent, for every one amor I go up, I will be able to increase the horizontal by how much? 500 amps. The horizontal. The distance. Which is what I want to be able to work out. Yeah? So again, I do a simple initial experiment. I'm gonna fix the angle. Okay? So what I do is I've got a stick there or something, and I go up one armor. Probably that is, you can do it whichever way you want, but yeah. I'm just making to keep it very simple. These are the dimensions he uses. So you can do it on paper with its boys. But you go up one armor. And I look through it, so I'm looking from a height of one amor. Now what I do is, I now look across, and I'm looking for a point which is 500 amors away. When I see that point, I now tighten the screw. That's the angle which I'm going to keep now for my
tube. How do you know what's 500 amors
away? I measured it. I'm standing here. I measure a point, so 500 amps away.
It could be 500 away.
It's just a simpler way to do it. Right? But you're right. I measure a point 500 amps away, right? No. I put your football there.
Don't they use that kind of measuring idea still today? Some, where the architects and people, they do use that.
They've got the opposite.
Yeah,
I don't know what they're measuring, but...
They are measuring distances.
Yeah. To measure height.
Same principle.
Marking. Laser marking.
But it's also going up and down.
Yeah, it's a different level of the ground.
Why do they have to worry about the angle?
Because we just use it on the site.
If you see the tree some distance away, you measure your distance from where you are now to that tree, it's 500. You take your device that you've got and you look to see the bottom of the tree, you adjust the angles of the adjust the length of the tube to say at this length tube I can see the bottom of the tree.
Yeah.
Then the actual distance from your height, which is off the ground, you're not, there's trees on the bottom of the ground, but you are, your feet are on the ground, but your eyes will be slightly higher. The actual distance from your eyes to the bottom of the tree will be slightly, but very small, because we're in short, over the 500. But then, whatever you can see through the pipe will be 500 irrespective of that.
No, no, I need to be able to see 2,000.
Okay, no, but you say 2,000 then. You measure 2,000 on a flat plane.
No, but only if you pick the old object. No, you're trying to work out the distance from where you are to the bottom of the tree.
No, you take the tree and you measure 2,000. Well, and then you stand at 2,000.
That's Rashi's challenge.
Yeah, I'm just saying. But we don't need to go to what we're saying here with the...
Well, how would you measure that in the sea?
Hang on a second. So you then take your tube and you adjust and you cut the tube so that you can see the bottom of the tree from that distance of 2,000.
Right.
Now, wherever you're looking from there on in, whether it's horizontally down to the bottom of the valley, the top of a, if you can see the top of a tree, that distance will always be 2,000.
In theory, that's Rashi.
Yes, but once you've got your tube, you don't have to stand up.
Yeah, but the problem is the problem is there's two things. Number one, we are at the coincidence chart. We're trying to use the same tube, right? Which I fixed. It's a 2,000 armor tube.
Yes.
I'm going to use it to measure the bottom of the valley.
Yes.
Right. That's point number one. Point number two is just the science behind that. People have raised different issues. We're not absolutely convinced that it would really work, this, the way Rashi's explained it. We're finding it a little bit difficult, because when you're looking down into a valley, there's less light. And what you're able to see is based on the amount of light. If you're forcing through a smaller, relatively smaller space. These factors and the size of the object that you're going to be looking at, the point you're taking, they presumably would all have an effect on it. Whereas if you're using trigonometry, it's a much more defined science. Because it's just simple maths. Now the way they're describing it is, don't have to start using your soccer toa and all of this. I don't know how you learnt it. I learnt in school soccer toa in measuring sine and tan. You don't have to do that. All you do is do it. It's like the much more basic way of doing it. It's the same idea. What you do is, you simply say, I want to measure 2,000 armors. I'm standing here. I don't have to walk 2,000 armors. So how do I do it? So what I do is, I take my tube, and I measure 500 armors. So what I do is I put a stick there. Okay? Now, I go, I take my tube, I put it on some sort of, tripod, something like that, which I can play around with the thing. And I go up, only one armor. Right? I could raise it as much as I want, but only one armor. And then I look through. Obviously, if it's angled like that, you're not going to get to your stick because the angle is too great. So what you do is you adjust it. Now I can see beyond the stick. Move it back. Ah, bang! Now I can see the stick. So I tighten the screw. Now I know, as long as I don't mess with the angle, as long as I keep the angle the same, for every one armor I go up, the theory is that the horizontal, not diagonal, the horizontal will increase by 500 armors. Now I need to be able to see 2,000. And you can just do it potentially obviously within reason, because at the point where you just can't see, that's something else. But that's because of your own eyesight. We're not talking about that. 2,000 numbers is still 1 kilometer, you should be able to see a point there. So what I do is, I now go up 4 arms. I kept the angle exactly the same, It's like drawing a, you know, parallel triangles effectively here. And based on the point I can see, hopefully there'll be a landmark. There's something, there's some sort of thing that I can make as using my cinema. That I know, I don't have to go out there. I know exactly now, I'm staying at home, and I know on Shabbos that's the point which is 2,000 amos. Now, you may want to say, I don't even have to want to walk 500 amos on Erev Shabbos to work this out. Okay, so you work it out based on 250 amos, whatever you want, yeah? You just use that ratio. That's the
where do you get the one amma to double the to double the length? Where's the, who told you the one amma that you have to raise the one amma?
No, I made it like that.
No, you've got your 500 ammas distance. Mm-hmm. Who told you that raising it now one amma will show you a further 500?
No, I started one hour up.
You started one hour up. So you're using that correct. Same distance.
Correct. And I'm looking through my tube, and I'm looking for that point. Now, obviously, you've got to now get the right angle of the tube.
So right? If you started two hours up,
we'll come to two hours in a second. Starting at one hour. Mm-hmm. So what I do is if I angle it like this, but you're looking up, because you're not hitting the ground. If you angle it like that, you're hitting the ground. You're going too far. If you do it too much like that, then you're hitting too close. So eventually you get the right angle, boom, I can hit that point which I know is exactly 500 amos away. Now I secure at one amos height. Then the actual tripod that it's on, I can raise it.
Yeah.
Keeping the angle staying the same, it's just going up like that. But the angle is staying the same. Yeah. So I raise it 2 amos, now I should be from 1 amos to 2 amos. Now I should be able to see 1,000 amos. Continue on up. 3 amos, I should be able to see 1,500.
Yeah.
And I go to 2,000.
4 amos, yeah. You can
get. If your maths is very good, you don't have to do it like that. You just do the maths yourself.
So I'm saying if you started at 2 amos, you have to still go 4 times 2 amos to get to the 2,000. To get to the point of 2,000.
If you're doing 2 to 500, yeah.
Yeah, if you're doing 2 to 500.
So it's the distance you start. Say 6 foot high or 5 foot five. So your eyes are of that sort of level. When you look horizontally for the stick, the stick's got to be that height as well for it to be parallel to the ground.
If you're looking at a certain point which is raised, it could make very, very small incorrection. They point out, I'm not even sure how, but they come out with a certain third of an amma to add on to them or something to do with something. I don't know if that's to do with it. You're right, it could be very slight things. Don't use a stick, use something which is bang on the ground.
What about different elevations? So
you're doing completely stone, down
stone,
to the ground.
Yeah, but you yourself are at a certain height, so there's going to be straight away.
No, for sure. So you have to lie on the ground. You go right down to the height you're looking to. Yeah.
But you have different elevation. It's not exactly the same vision.
Today you wouldn't. You don't.
Today we have laser.
You do the maths yourself. You just take a piece of paper. You do 2,000, right? You do 2,000. You do your height. You fix the height wherever you want. 4. You work out the angle. Then you can just you measure the angle and finish. You know then the right. You can work it out yourself. You don't need to. This is like all the maths you find in the thing when they measure circles and things like that. Today you just do it with the given pi calculations and finish. But they show you how they do it. It's fascinating the way they worked it out without all of that.
Yeah.
They broke it all down. The theory behind it. Okay. So using the same tube now. I don't have to adjust anything. Now I can work out. The depth of the valley. How do I do that? Because again, what am I going to do? If I want to work out the depth, so again, I'm going to know it based on...
How high the tripod is.
No, so hold on one thing. I know how this is going to work. If I keep it at a given angle...
Which is really fit. You've really fixed your angle.
I've fixed my angle, but I know I can see 2,000 amas through it now. Based on that angle. The height, angle, etc.
How does that work if you're actually looking down?
I think
your one number's off.
I'm not sure.
It sounds like a long-winded way of working.
It is a very sort of
flat. Again, today you do it just with
trigonometry. Trigonometry, even if they were using trigonometry then,
what it sounds, from what you explained, is really a long-winded way of working it out.
Is it?
Yeah.
No,
they didn't.
I thought
it was
pretty clever,
but they weren't clever at all.
Just go from first principles.
I mean, how far is 2,000 numbers?
A kilometer.
A kilometer.
How
kilometers, 5/8 of a mile.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
So to walk 5/8 of a mile, it's just over half a mile. It's not that far. It's like coming from my house to coming to shore.
But how are you going to measure it? With what?
With walking.
Piece of string. That's it. You have to take a piece of string and measure it, you know, 40 times. Remember, that's how you have to do it. The string has to be a certain type of string. It's not any string. You've got to be holding it the right height as well.
Also, now.
And then you've got to do it 40 times, right?
And also, now you've got 2,000 umbers. You can look in any direction which way you want to go for 2,000 umbers, as opposed to to walk each direction 100 times. Because you've got a 2,000 umber circumference.
Right. Think about that. This takes you all the
way. I hear what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Then otherwise, it'll take you even if you could walk it in 10 minutes. Okay, and presumably you could probably, there's no reason why not, it's the Seraphim, so you could leave it set up for Shabbos on the tripod, and you decide on Shabbos which direction, you have a look through and say, okay, that's as far as I can go.
In Mr. Israel's defence, he would not only have to walk there to measure it, but he'd have to walk back as well. So you'd have to come back to where you started.
Yeah. Okay, so it's a mile round trip, a bit more.
Good exercise.
But hold on, what does he say? Sorry, I'm looking at the written now. As I said, if anyone wants to see it in more length, I've tried to just do it.
We should do a field trip.
you could try your back garden.
Yeah, I'm just saying, just take a...
Take your grandchild.
Take an A4 piece of paper, roll it up, and then see what you can see, the distance you can see, and then do it tighter and do it wider, and you'll see the difference.
No, I trust this.
With your wife, you should be able to, with
the optometrist. Oh, yeah. Yes, you've got the.
I'll see about this. Yeah. See if she can work this one out.
Yeah.
Focal length and. Right. So that was the that was that one. What did he say? As I'm trying to, it's quite a longish piece, so I'm just basically told to you the way he does it. He says when it comes to the slightly shorter piece, when it comes to, he's done the groundwork now. When it comes to the depth of the valley now, so he says what you do is this time is, let's see if he's doing this, yeah. One second.
Who are you quoting?
The Meiri, he was quoting the Gaon in here. No, he doesn't seem to do the same. Why doesn't he do the same with it? Huh? I'm just seeing if he does it for the. I don't think he does it for the valley in the same way. Let's see what he says. He says, maybe Shwe Ferris from Abdul Abbey Abosho, so you look on dry land, but you're there on Kishal Gai. Elabizmacha Gamish Tape Abbey Yerid, when it goes down slanting.
And up and down.
So Shikwa Nofen, okay, presumably that means a constant. I assume it's going to be Shikwa Nofen, it doesn't keep changing. Ubizmacha Odom Omid Al Tfat, Mrs. Fosso should say, Umate Pono, Umate Oison, Zadadon, Umamidon Kenegish Shikwa. See, basically he sets it at the same angle as the slope. Ilu hunofen al gabo, as if it's resting on the, you know, it's parallel. Umabit bishve peres, and then he looks through the tube. Kam vidas orko lemato, the kamo ad karko iso. So you measure the height upward, and then you measure the...
How do you measure the height upward?
No, from where you're standing, I suppose. You're going to create a...
Well, you've got nothing to look at. the valley's down below.
Yeah, correct.
You're talking about, you're talking about something from the bottom of the valley to your level. What's there? Unless the balloon or something, I don't know. You're never going to. You're not. You need to do this on the horizontal, not on the.
Horizontally he deals with afterwards. I've ran out of time. Everyone who wants to take a look, look at me, otherwise we need to end tomorrow.
Look in the way, Me'iri.
Not Chiddush HaMe'iri, because Chiddush HaMe'iri just says, take a look, you know, you'll find somebody who gives an Allah, he doesn't give you much information. Me'iri, he actually, Beis HaBechira, he gives you more of that.